Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Text 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dakshami Nunam Sakapalo Nasikam Smitavalo Karana Kanjana Lochananam Mukham Mukundasya Gudalaka Britam Pradakshinam Me Pracharanti Vaimaga. Surely I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda, since the deer are now walking past me on my right. That face, framed by his curly hair, is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose. His smiling glances and his reddish lotus eyes. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Malatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. It's kind of our hosting marathon now. I mean, I came with some devotees from our Puri retreat, and then a very nice tour from our ashram, led by our ashram in Colombia, is here, and Sridhar Bhakti Fest is here. And the Bhakti Center is here, and Satyaraj is coming. And all are asking me to participate. So we're quite busy, but it's quite wonderful. So I've been lecturing also, and tomorrow I'll begin lecturing twice a day. Now also from the congregation in New York, Tiffany Cooper is here also, and Janine will come soon, and Raghunath's group. And so this is a very interesting story about, and I spoke it before, but when you speak it again, you get further and further realizations. And it's a very significant story because it's about coming to Krishna. And although Akura is going by a chariot with Krishna, to get Krishna or to meet Krishna, he's very excited. The chariot does not move by the wheels alone. The wheels move by the mind. And your mind moves in the direction of your faith. And I guess it's a key point in my lectures. I don't know why I honed on in this point, but it seems that faith is the basis of our connection with God. But faith is our, where our attraction lies. And we are attracted to that which gives us, which we perceive gives us happiness. So, so it's our faith in Krishna, which a connection which we perceive will give us the greatest happiness, that draws us to Krishna. It's as if Krishna is a magnet and we're a piece of metal, and our our attraction to Krishna will draw us there. And our attraction is our faith. So, and with that faith or that attraction, this is almost like a nice synonym for faith in the context of how we're speaking, that our faith or our attraction will enable us to perform the austerities to achieve it towards our goal, including overcoming the obstacles to our goal. And that so that's what's demonstrated by the story of Akrura, the mind that brings you towards Krishna, and that's called Manorata, the chariot of the mind that brings you towards Krishna. So it's very important to actually study these stories, not only to become attracted to Krishna, but to understand what consciousness we have to aspire for to come to Krishna. Remember, Akrura was in Mathura for 12 years before he was able to go to Vrindavan. And actually, going to Vrindavan is a calling of Krishna. Meeting a pure devotee is a calling. It's a calling from Krishna. I make also, this is also a fundamental point I make, and it's so important for our own japa, that bhakti is basically the quality of our voice that wants Krishna. And when the voice of desire comes intense, it's called lobha or greed. And that is the only price to pay to get Krishna. It's our desire. We're separated from Krishna by our desire. It's a matter of consciousness. It's not a matter of physical distance. It's another dimension that's only crossed over by faith or our attraction for Krishna. and not an attraction to exploit. Because Krishna is not meant to exploit, he's meant to be served. It's an attraction that invokes love. It's an attraction to something that is greater than us. Krishna means all attractive, that inspires us to want to serve. So this is the greatest quality of someone. It's this shraddha. It's this faith, this aspiration. And that's what separates one devotee from another in their level advancement. It's how much do they want Krishna. And if you really, really, really want Krishna, then the value of that becomes greater than the value of anything else. It is more valuable, but in your mind. But we don't have that faith, and therefore, during our day, we're making so many decisions that this is more valuable than Krishna. And I want this more than I want Krishna. And if you make those type of decisions, that's what you will get rather than Krishna. Nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bahunam yo vididati. There's one God. He's the supreme whole. And there are many parts. There's one supreme eternal, one supreme living force, and there's many eternal and eko bahunam yo, and the one supplies the needs of the many. So what you want, you get. We're here in this material world because we want this. And it's unfortunate because what we are wanting is not something that gives us happiness. Just like an addict. He wants a certain pleasure, which is indeed a pleasure, but it's not a happiness. It's not a condition of the mind. So you want to go to Krishna, you have to have that attraction and that understanding that there's nothing like our connection with God. Even in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes that you can't compare material pleasure to the pleasure of Brahman. It's a million times better. It's not just relief from pain, Brahman, but there's a certain internal satisfaction. But Rupa Goswami says, if you multiply that by infinity, it will not equal a fraction of the drop of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which makes sense. God is infinite. He can do what he wants. So can we put a limit on the degree of his pleasure, which is bhakti, which is also our pleasure? And that's what faith is, that we think that this is the best thing. To the level that it pervades our consciousness. You know, there's an indirect process. It's described in the second canto. I once wrote a study guide on the second canto of the Bhagavatam. Vori Jhanprabhu's mercy that he engaged me in that. And I really, really studied it deeply. Broken into various sections and thematic sections. And I really, and there was one point in the second canto, I forgot which chapter, where it describes a process of almost physically ascending to the Supreme Lord. But it's not just physically ascending, it's as you ascend, you can only go to the next level, the next dimension, if you become detached from the previous one. So it's almost like a mechanical process in one sense of attaining the Supreme. And it really, it's interesting because it describes that the universe is 4 billion miles in diameter, inconceivable to us, 4 billion miles. And then it's covered by a layer of earth, which is 40 billion miles, and then air, which is 400 billion miles. Then 400 billions of fire, and 400 billion, 40 billion and 400 billion of fire, and then 4,000 billion of air, and then 40,000 billions of ether, and it goes on. So it describes that you have to go to the next level, you have to be free from the allurements and desires of each level. So earth is fragrance. You have to go through the allurement of fragrance selfishly. Bhakti is a different process. You don't have to detach yourself from taste and fragrance and visual and texture and sound. You just have to approach it in the mood of devotion, which means priti. Priti is such an important point. Priti is priyojana tattva. Priyojana tattva means what is our goal? Our goal is priti. Like Jiva Goswami wrote a book called The Priti Sandarbha. Our goal is priti. And what priti means is the enjoyment you get with the pleasure or enjoyment of your beloved. So that's bhakti. But then in this indirect mechanical process, so you have to go by, matter, earth, water. Water means taste. You have to transcend that selfishly. So how to do that? It's the connection and happiness of Krishna. It is the only way. Mechanically, we can't overcome the allurements of ego and sensual pleasure in this world. We can only overcome it with the connection to Krishna. And that means aspiration. Aspiration. I want it, and I want it. I was commenting many times on the verse of the six favorable items of devotional service. Utsahan nishtayat daryat. Enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. Utsahan, our enthusiasm. Utsahan nishtayat daryat. Enthusiasm nishtayat. Utsahan nishtayat daryat. And our patience. Patience is the attribute of a person who values the goal he's trying to attain. And with the patience, I've explained this many times, the patience is, it is so good. It is not cheap. I have to work for it. and the time and effort it takes to get it is worth it. So Akura is the exemplar of this kind of determination. And therefore, in the verses describing this, you know, it begins with Kamsa. Kamsa asking Akura to go get Krishna. And later on, you'll see that Kamsa says, Akura says, Ati Anunugraham, this is extreme mercy of Krishna. That is the extreme mercy of Kamsa. Krishna can use evil-minded people to give you mercy, and we all experience it, that some of the greatest lessons we learn from God come from people of ill intent who have the unfortunate karma to give us our bad karma. And we should never put ourselves in that role, to be the vehicles for someone's bad karma. Because Krishna's going to give them mercy. Why should it be through us? So there's a word that's here is used, maha, great, and mahamati, great mind. A great mind is attracted to Krishna. That's a great mind, and we know it. We know the beauty of someone who's absorbed in God and has those feelings of devotion in their heart, which are expressed through his speech and his song. And that's the greatest mind, because it is the mind that aspires for the best thing, that is not only good for oneself, but is a good for everyone. And then he's also described as Mahabhaga, the most fortunate person. Because the most fortunate person has the best objectives. And in bhakti, our having the right objectives is also achieving the goal. Because having that right objective is also our devotion. So he was described as Mahabhaga, as a greatly fortunate person, because bhaktim param upagata, because he's experiencing param, exceptional devotion. Exceptional devotion. Hare Krishna? Okay. He's experiencing exceptional devotion. And exceptional devotion is the aspiration to go to God and the joy of moving in that direction. Even ourselves, if we like to do something, then we become very excited for the journey. The journey itself is exciting. So this is the supreme journey. And you know, he's to actually have that faith in the goal, you have to be humble. Actually have faith, you have to be humble. Because if you don't understand the value of God. And the divine, and what that means, that there is a Supreme Lord. We have to be humble. Because sthitir, the right situation, one of the subjects of the Bhagavatam, sthitir Vaikuntha Vijaya, is that God is victorious, he's glorious. And that makes one humble. The acknowledgement of something so much greater than oneself. And therefore, when you have a clear vision and understanding of that, you have to reflect on your own lack of qualification to attain it. If you look at your own qualities and actually have an understanding of the divine, then you'll feel completely incapable to be worthy of it. So Akura, on that journey, the first thing he has to meditate on is his own lack of qualification, which is another way of saying that the value of what I am trying to attain is way beyond my qualification to earn it. So he's thinking, Uttama Shloka Darshanam. How? He's thinking, how am I going to earn this? He said, what tapa, what austerity? It's very interesting. One commentator, what he says, what is this? He says, what tapa, what param tapa have I performed? What great austerity have I performed to achieve this? I don't see it in my life that I've actually done enough to get to earn what I am getting. I certainly feel that way. I'm in Vrindavan. How is that possible? When I think of Vrindavan and I think of myself here, how can I not be humble? How can I think that I'm deserving of that? But when he thinks of what severe austerities, commentators give a very interesting analysis of what this tapa means. What's the austerity? The austerity is doing good for others. How much good have I done for others to actually deserve this? And that's an austerity. Because that austerity means I have to refrain from criticizing. I have to refrain from envying. I have to refrain from wishing people bad. Have I performed that austerity of not cheating others, of always being merciful, of always showing kindness to others? I'm reflecting. Am I reflecting on all my relationships now? Am I performing the austerity of tolerating the weaknesses of others? Am I performing the austerity of compassion to others? Where I empathize with their suffering and I'm willing to do the austerity of helping them and wishing people well? Rather, what is our relationship with others? What an austerity to be in the world of irrationality, if you have that kind of mind, and relate to others that don't think in that way, and wish them well. So he said, this is impossible. I haven't done this. I haven't performed these parts, but ati-api. But otherwise, perhaps, arate dattam. I have performed charity. And maybe that's why. And what is that charity? That charity is serving a great soul and invoking within their heart their gratitude for our service to them that makes them wish well for us, because everyone is persons and people reciprocate. Krishna is also responsive. So if I invoked the reciprocation, if I invoked the heart, the wishes of a great soul, we can think ourselves, we don't have the same wishes towards every person, and that is not a defect in us. It's the nature of a person. So who are those people you wish well? And how do we get those who have connection with God to wish us well? So he said, so what have I done? Have I performed that? Have I done that? Adati dhatam? Have I performed some worship and some charity by serving the great souls? And therefore, uttama shloka darshanam. How will I be able to see darshan of uttama shloka? Tama, ignorance, uta, to transcend ignorance. Or it means the best. How will I take darshan of the best, or the subject of the verses that are the most exalted and best, both in their poetical presentation and what they are describing. If you just look at the verses glorifying Krishna and who Krishna is and what God is and what his qualities are, that person, uttama shloka, darshanam, what does it take to get darshan out of that? But he thinks, but maybe I will. Not maybe, I will certainly. Because syad, it may come, eva chuta darshan, it may come about by the sight of achuta darshanam, God who is infallible. So basically speaking, he shows the right Vaishnav consciousness to actually attain God is to feel hopeless when meditating upon ourselves and feel hopeful when meditating upon God, who is a chuta, which means he does not fall down from the exalted nature of his character and qualities, which includes his mercy. So now, meditating on achyuta, meditating on God's mercy, and meditating on his own situation, that actually the wheels of this chariot, after 12 years, they're moving towards Krishna, then Adya mamadya mangalam nashtam. Today, my amangalam, inauspicious reactions, are eradicated. And falavan bhava, and my birth has reached its fruit. Because I am going towards God. I am chanting the holy name. I am living in Vrindavan. I am going on pilgrimage. Therefore, today my sinful reactions must have been finished. And my birth must be worthwhile. Since Namasye Bhagavato, I will offer obeisances to God. Yogi Dhyayangri Pankajam, whose lotus-like feet are meditated upon by the yogi. It's the object of meditation by those most exalted in this world, the yogis. And I'm not just getting darshan. I'm just not meditating on those feet. I am going to be at those feet. And I'm going to be paying obeisances to those feet. I'm going to have the joy of physically and audibly announcing my service and inferiority to the Supreme Lord out of love. When there is love, there is no envy. So when there is love, you are happy to be before an object of devotion. Whose qualities dictate your own life and desires. And then he understands that this is mercy. This is not my qualification. It's mercy. It's ati anugraham. Because what is the cause of this? It's that evil Kamsa who's sending me to see Krishna. Ati anugraham. This is extreme mercy. Kamsa has shown me that mercy. This can only be the mercy of Krishna. And what are the glories? What is this object? Why is it mercy? Because many souls in the past have transcended duratyam tama, duratyayam tama, the insurmountable darkness of material existence. They have transcended by Nakalamandala Trisha, by the effulgence, the Tama, the darkness, is transcended by the effulgence. And it can happen at once. If one surrenders to Guru and Krishna, he is liberated. He does not take birth in the world once you make. Again, once you make that honest decision that I will follow truth as it's coming from Guru Parampara, I will follow that truth, I will surrender to that truth, then janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakpadeham punajama naiti mam eti sorjana. I then will not take birth again in this world. For millions and millions of years, I've been in darkness. A room can be in darkness for millions and millions of years. The light switch will eradicate all that darkness for millions and millions of years in one switch. And that actually is our challenge. That is so much our challenge, to surrender to truth. It means what God wants. Whether God wants us to keep our attachment or renounce our attachment, or to keep what we don't like, or to keep what we like. But fixed on that principle of bhakti, it's such a special path. The path of bhakti is so special. Because liberation can come just by that surrender and consciousness and honesty of following what is true. And many, many souls have transcended this insurmountable darkness of material existence. And what is the insurmountable darkness of material existence? It's the material enjoyment, desire, material enjoyment, liberation. And why is it insurmountable? Because it, even though it causes us suffering, it doesn't work. We try the same things again and again and again. Like a child at the beach, at the shore, constantly rebuilding his sandcastle. And every time the waves are coming in, he's digging troughs in the sand and somehow or other, you know, hoping to divert the water from his sandcastle. And again, bhutva, bhutva, paliyate, again and again and again and again destroyed. But simply by the effulgence of his toenails, nakala mandala, twisha, by that effulgence of the nakala mandala, the moons of his toenails. Many, many great souls in the past. And these are the feet that I will see. And these are feet that they're so exalted that they're worshipped by Lord Brahma, who keeps the water of the feet of the Lord in his kamandalu. And Lord Shiva keeps on his head. And all the demigods and the goddess of fortune who keeps those feet on her chest. And also by great sages who are meditating on those feet, and great devotees who serve those feet. And not only the people who serve those feet indicate its greatness, what those feet do. Text 8, the feet, they walk about the forest while herding the cows with his companion. Those feet are smeared, antikam, like mendhendi. It stays on, the kumkum of the breast of the gopis. He walks through the forest of Vrindavan, and feet becomes the tilak of Vrindavan. The tilak indicates on your head, I belong to someone else. To the earth, the feet indicate to the earth, I belong to Krishna. And now he says, surely I'll see the face of Mukunda, because Mama Eva Chuta Darshanam, I will see a Chuta. I know he's given me that mercy, and I know I'll be successful. I surely will see the face of Mukunda. Look, the face, Kunda, Ananda. The face that gives the pleasure. Mukunda, also Mukti. The pleasure that defeats Mukti. I will see that face because I see a deer walking me on the right. There is a science of omens. There's no doubt in my mind. I know that myself. I have certain indications in my life of from God when things will be auspicious, when things will be inauspicious. I'm not worried about it because as a devotee, there's nothing inauspicious. Everything's coming from Krishna, so I don't fret, even though I know that something may happen that will not be pleasant on one particular level, but on an ultimate level, it's bringing me closer to Krishna. But it's just like you have a car and you don't put on the seatbelt, there's a light. It's warning you. The car door is open, there's another light. It's warning you. So the universe is constructed like that. It will warn you of what's coming. And one of the things is, if you go on pilgrimage, you go out and two Brahmins are walking towards you with Shastra. Oh, how auspicious. Or if a deer, an elephant, a horse are on your right side, how auspicious. He knows, I see the signs. I see the signs that this will be auspicious. I see the signs. The deer are walking my right. If they cross to the left, inauspicious. Inauspicious. If a donkey's on your left, inauspicious. And then he's describing, and the Sukadeva goes describing. Why is he describing the face? He wants to give us an idea of why Akrura is so inspired. Because that face, I shall see the face of Mukunda, that face, framed by his curly hair, is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose, his smiling glances and his reddish eyes, smiling glances, smita. Smita, smiling. And I describe this. There's two types of smile. One that is caused by something external called hasya, laughing, where the teeth are showing, and one smita that is caused by something internal. And there are certain people that are constitutionally blissful, and the supreme constitutionally blissful person is Krishna, with his internal potency within. So he has this beautiful smile, and it's so attractive to be with those type of people. So this is what we've been studying, and we got a great group of people here. Fantastic people coming. And always my dream to preach in one place. The whole Bhakti Center was here, about 30 people, and they come to my room and I explain. And then we go to the ultimate experience, which is this Mali friend of mine and his family. It's just incredible. And what is a Brijabasi roti? Oh, wow. I can't describe. And everyone who takes it is amazed by this flavor of this Brijabasi rotis that they make for us. It's just another world. We have 30 people. They were cooking for 30 people. I was running around serving all the people, making sure they get. Okay, we'll stop here. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bogio. Yeah.
It's killing me. I had two questions, but I can only remember one. Anyway, you remember when you were saying that it's not a defect that that some people inspire our, I guess, affection more than others, you know, because we're people. That's what it means to be a person. But so I was just trying to reconcile that with the example of, let's say, Prahlad, who was, you know, wanted to take on the karma of everybody, you know. So I was thinking maybe the reconciliation is that, yes, a pure devotee, he does love every single person, because every single person is a part of Krishna, but that doesn't mean that you don't love some people more. How about that?
What's that sound?
I do not know.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot a Prabhupada fancy.
Okay. It says in the Gita, Samaham Sarvabhute Shu, Name Dwe Shunnis. You know, I'm equal to everyone, but for my devotees. And Prabhupada explains it. That's very, very natural. It's not a defect for someone to reciprocate with other people. It doesn't mean that they don't love the other people. It doesn't mean that they're not compassionate to other people. It doesn't mean they want to help everyone. It doesn't mean they don't see everybody equally in one sense. But it's so natural to reciprocate. Or just for us, we're affected by relationship. Otherwise, what's the question of relationship if we're not affected by other people's love? Of course, our hearts can be moved. There's such a thing as guru kripa. There's doya, there's compassion for everyone, but there's kripa, and it's directed. I saw that with even Prabhupada when he came, and he was kind of, he was ill. Haribo, when Prabhupada was ill, and we went to his room, he's going to leave the world, he started speaking about Jayananda with such love. There was something special there. And he made it in his heart, and that's very wonderful. Okay, whoever I love Prabhupada's voice, but whoever has that tape on should mute it so we can have our conversation. Okay, thank you, Gail.
Thank you, also.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Haribol Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
Thank you so much. Good. Anybody else? Just to keep up our community.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Sri Rupa.
Sri Rupa, wonderful. Let's talk soon, okay? Follow up on your sadhana, how you're doing, okay?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Lee.
Lee, you want to hear an interesting story?
Yes.
You know, I knew that the monkeys by Radha Damodar take glasses, but I didn't yet register me that they started taking hats.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That monkey grabbed that hat. She better knit another one for me. I'll be
is there a way I could send it to you?
No. When I come back. The winter's almost over.
Okay.
Before I go back to India the next time. Because it's almost the winter. Or when I get back to America in the winter. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Kishori.
Tota Gopinath here.
Priya.
Priya too, huh? Wow, I feel the separation from the Dham in your voices.
It's real.
What a wonderful stay that was. I mean, my God, you know, there's different groups here. The Colombian devotees are here and a Bhakti Center devotee. Everybody is just opening their hearts to Vrindavan in such a profound way. So we even have some people from Kansas.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you again.
Anybody else? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vrajarathe.
Hare Bo, Vrajarathe. Hare Krishna. A few more people?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharvika.
Thank you so much. Very wonderful. Okay. Who else? Who else? Okay, then we'll go for now. Thank you.